Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
And then we've also created what we call, you know, our rules of divorce, which means how soon do you date after divorce, and should you date during divorce or separation, and what are the rules with kids? You know, should you stay together with because you have children? So over the last now 28, almost 30 years, we've really focused in on taking the concept of therapy and coaching to the highest level possible, and our results are phenomenal, and I love this work.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, and to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free.
Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is consciously healing and thriving during and after divorce with best-selling author David Essel. I'm Susan Guthrie.
And I'm Rebecca Zung. Today, I'm very excited to welcome a very special guest to our show. David Essel, MS, is a number one best-selling author and counselor, master life coach, international speaker, and radio host whose mission it is to positively affect 2 million people or more every day. Wow. In every area of life, regardless of their current circumstances. Celebrity Jenny McCarthy says David Essel is the new leader of the positive thinking movement. David's work of 38 years is also endorsed by the late Wayne Dyer, Chicken Soup for the Soul author Mark Victor Hansen, as well as many other celebrities and radio and television networks from around the world. He is verified through Psychology Today as one of the top counselors and life coaches in the United States and is a verified relationship expert through marriage.com. David accepts new clients from around the world every week, where he works with them to achieve their goals via Skype or phone, and his website is www.davidessel.com. Essel is spelled E-S-S-E-L. And welcome, David.
Rebecca, Susan, I am so rocking and ready for you guys. I love the topic of our day, and I think we're going to really help some people to grow and thrive during and after divorce, as Susan said. So I'm ready to go.
Well, thank you, David. Really, we're so, so happy to have you here to with us today. And I'm thinking, let's just start off talking a little bit about you. How did you come to be a verified relationship expert? And what does that mean?
I started out, believe it or not, almost 40 years ago now in the world of sports psychology, health, and fitness. And in sports psychology, I worked...
You're only 45.
I know, that's right, exactly. Well, you know, it was kind of interesting getting clients in the beginning to trust a four-year-old, but we won them over, you know?
A very wise little one.
Yeah. Well, they dressed me in a little Buddha outfit, and right away, people were saying, we got to believe this dude, you know, yeah. Because... what other four-year-old has a robe like that sitting on a big chair? So, but you know, I started out and loved sports psychology, but then got really bored with it. Honestly, around 5 years into it, it was just something I needed more expansion. And in 1990, I went in the world of general counseling, and we created a hybrid program. And what that means is we take the best out of psychotherapy, which is asking really good questions, going back into core family history, which is crucial in the world of divorce, to see what our belief systems about love and relationships are, which always start between the ages of 0 and 18. And then we married it in the world of coaching. And the difference between psychotherapy and coaching is that coaching actually gives people assignments to do in between the 7 days. You know, like if I could rail against the world of counseling and psychotherapy, I'd say the biggest downfall is that they don't give people assignments. You know, so at the end of 55 minutes, oh, that was great. You know, I look forward to seeing you next week. Blah, blah, blah. Well, that would be like a personal trainer on a Monday saying, that was a great workout. Have a good 6 days off and I'll see you next Monday. And it doesn't make sense. So in 1990, we made this hybrid counseling, therapeutic coaching program. And we've seen immense results. And we've worked in the world of divorce with, I mean, crazy stuff. You know, people that actually healed marriages in the middle of divorce, which is absolutely stunning. And I love to see it. And then we've also created what we call, you know, our rules of divorce, which means how soon do you date after divorce? And should you date during divorce or separation? And what are the rules with kids? You know, should you stay together with because you have children? So over the last now 28, almost 30 years, we've really focused in on taking the concept of therapy and coaching to the highest level possible. And our results are phenomenal. And I love this work.
And you are a verified relationship expert. What does that mean exactly?
Well, you know, when you're in the world, any business whatsoever, you know, you can be an attorney, you can be a counselor, a coach, you could be a doctor, a dentist, but just because you have titles doesn't mean you're any damn good at what you do. You know, it's like, that's the truth. So when you get verified, when we were verified by Psychology Today, we were recently verified by Theravive.com, which is another counseling organization, and then Marriage.com. What that says is that they've done background checks. They've checked out with, you know, your past clients that have endorsements about you. They want to see if you're the real deal. Are you making up quotes on your website, which is very easy to do? So you go through this verification process. And I'll tell you, Psychology Today was one of the toughest. I mean, they really went back. They wanted to see my grades in graduate school. I swear to God, you know. I was a pastor of a church for a number of years, and so they wanted to see my ordained minister license. I mean, they really went to town. So what they're doing is they're saying, we will endorse you, but first you're going to earn our badge of approval. And both Marriage.com and Psychology Today did it. So, you know, in that, what's really fortunate for us is that we get highlighted as one of the top, as you mentioned earlier, Rebecca, you know, we've been highlighted now by so many organizations and people as one of the top counselors and coaches in the world. And obviously it helps our business, but more importantly, it gives clients peace of mind that they're going to spend their hard-earned money with me. They're going to get good results.
Yeah. So one of the things that we find a lot in as divorce attorneys, Susan and I, is people will come to our office and say, should I stay? Should I leave my spouse? Should I get a divorce? Or should I stay with my spouse? And as a divorce attorney, I always tell them that is not my role to tell you that. I'm here to facilitate if you decide to go ahead and move forward. Now, obviously, I have a different answer if I think that they're in danger.
Right.
Or if they're in an abusive situation. But for the most part, I just tell people, I mean, there's no way that I can tell you that. But that's a position that you've specifically been in. So what signs would you tell people that this is a good sign to go ahead and start to think about leaving, or maybe you should think about staying?
It's a tough one, you know, and it usually takes me several sessions of working with someone to get to the core to find out, you know, what, okay, and here's the number one question that we got to get a client to answer before if they're going to stay or leave. And this is a tough one for a lot of people to face. What is your role in the dysfunction of your marriage? Okay. Everyone avoids it. Everyone's projecting, pointing fingers. You know, my husband.
That's a good one.
Yeah. You know, my husband's a dick because
it's all his fault.
I know,
all
right?
Her fault.
It is. You know, it's constant, like, you know, and so when we can help them break through. Now, on average, it takes 4 sessions of me working with someone for an hour or 4 different weeks before we can get them to break down, get humble and vulnerable and say, okay, here's my role, you know, and they usually come out with a big one. Now, one of the biggest roles, guys, and I'm going to talk about women, although it also happens with men. One of the greatest roles that we play in the dysfunction of a marriage is called codependency, which means that we don't know how to set boundaries with consequences. So how does a marriage get to the state of divorce? It's usually because there are rules that have been broken. There are things that that we haven't stood up for and said, hey, listen, if you want to go out and drink with your friends on every Saturday night, that's great if you're single. But what I'm seeing in our marriage is you come home on Sunday, you're no good for the kids, you're no good for me, you're a grump all day Sunday. On Monday, you barely get up and you go to work. And then we start rebuilding our relationship again Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday, you're back out. Now, this is just an example. The codependent in that type of relationship would be the one that complains and bitches and nags every week, but they don't do anything about it. So their role when we get to how did this thing get to the stage of divorce is that they never had the balls to set boundaries and consequences and hold the consequence, which would look like this. you know, I really love you and the kids love you to death if there's children involved. On Saturdays, it really disrupts the whole family cycle. And I know you want your downtime and your fun time with your guy friends or girlfriends or whatever, but it's not working. And it hasn't worked for the last 6 months. So here's what I'm going to propose. In order for us to stay together, I'd be willing to go into counseling with you to figure out why we have this Saturday night issue or whatever. Or it might be with some people, it might be spending money that their partner has never approved for them to spend. And they're in great financial ruin because of this, you know, whatever the issue is. And the one who's grounded would say, I want to go into counseling, get to the core and save our marriage. Like not put, I'm going to get into a counseling session and get the counselor to agree with me that you're an alcoholic or you're a spending addict. You know, it's none of that crap. It's like, I want to save this marriage. So I'm going to set up sessions and we start next Thursday and it's at 8 o'clock at night, which fits your schedule and my schedule. I would love for you to join me. Now, that would be step one, where that they're an independent person seeing a struggling relationship, willing to do something about it and encouraging their partner to come. Now, just because the partner doesn't come doesn't mean we can't save the relationship. We still may be able to save the marriage, but at least that's an independent person who's saying, I want to save the marriage. I see we're in a lot of dysfunction and this is one step I'm willing to take. The codependent person, guys, will put up with months or years of the insanity of their partner being an alcoholic or a spendaholic. And then they get to the end and they go, I didn't have any role here. Yes, you did. You were codependent. You never set boundaries and consequences. That's something that you have to own in order to move forward in life.
That's interesting. I never heard codependent used in that particular setting, but, you know, almost like you allowed it. It may be in some ways you were addicted to it. Maybe you didn't like it necessarily, but it was something you tolerated and
it gets worse or it just keeps happening, you know?
Well, it's almost like consent and waiver.
Absolutely, guys.
There's some legal theory.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's get the legal in here, right? Rebecca, that is so true. Susan, that is so true. If you aren't, now listen, this is something that it's the largest addiction in the world, okay? I've worked in addiction recovery for 24 years. I'm a former alcoholic, cocaine addict, and I'm also a former codependent and intimate relationships.
I did not know all of that about you.
Oh, God, yeah. I have done it all, baby.
Makes you the best person to help people with.
Yeah.
Susan, it is so true. It is so true. You know, when people look at someone who does the work I do for as long as I do, they often think, you know, that I've been on this, you know, roller coaster or this, not a roller coaster, just an upward drive my whole life. It's been easy and effortless. Oh my God. You know, one of the greatest gifts I bring to this world is my extreme former dysfunction.
I do think people. It changes your perspective on things. Both Rebecca and I have been divorced. She has children both with a former spouse and her current spouse. I'm a stepmother. And I know personally that those experiences have changed my practice as a divorce attorney. So I can only imagine what your depth of experience has brought to your practice.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And so the world of codependency, Rebecca, just like what you said, you know, you didn't really ever hear codependency talked about in the frame I'm talking. Codependency is the largest addiction in the world. In 2002, we came out with this statement that by far, if you put all the alcoholics, addicts, everyone in a bucket, it wouldn't come close to the number of codependents in the world. It's huge. And we see it in relationships. Listen, I'm going to throw out a statistic here that I can back. I don't think we have time for me to back it, but it's true. The percentage of relationships in this country that are healthy at the most is about 20%.
Wow.
We have about 80% of relationships in this country that suck. And I'm not, they suck. I'm serious.
Wow.
And I'm going to prove it with this first statement. 55% of first-time marriages end in what?
Divorce.
All right. So right away, we're saying 55% of people watching this program, you know, are really in a lot of trouble. Okay. They're really in a lot of trouble. And it didn't just happen on year 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. As a matter of fact, okay, let's talk attorney. I have an attorney client that I cannot say where, who was married for 38 years that I just spent the last year helping her through her divorce with her former husband, okay? 38 years, 5 kids. Thank God the kids are all highly functional. That's rare when I tell you the rest. And when I had her go back and look at her role, because at first she didn't have, I mean, she's an attorney. She's smart as shit, right? Like you guys are. Unbelievably intelligent. She's had a great career as an attorney. Former husband, an amazing professional with a lot of success in his life. And yet, when I said to her, when I say to everyone, the divorce started in the first 90 days. This is 30 years of experience. I can tell you the divorce started in the first 90 days. Everyone says, no way. Let me tell you what happened when she said, no way. I said, okay, do me a favor. Write about everything that happened in the first 90 days when you met your husband 38 years ago that was not copacetic, that was not healthy, was not sweet, was not kind. Her first date, he was a former football player in college. Her first date, he took her to a huge party, left her in the living room, didn't come back for 5 hours, came back and then said, it's time to leave. That was her first date. Okay.
And she had a second one.
And she had apparently a second that led to 38 years. So when we look at what happened the second week, the third month, when we look at all of a sudden, she's going to me, you got to be kidding me. This was here from the beginning. I said, exactly. Now, there are some people that are in such denial that they'll say, he was phenomenal for 20 years. He never did anything, blah, blah, or she was amazing. And I can break it down, guys. Give me 4 weeks. I can break it down through the exercises we give and show that that's not the truth. Now, the attorney I just talked about, what she found out was that she was so incredibly codependent. She didn't want to rock the boat. She didn't want to upset feelings. She didn't want to pull him into counseling because he was a medical professional. She didn't. So she kept pushing all of this stuff away until the last year was absolutely hellacious when he went behind her back. Now listen to this. After he went behind her back and forged her name to papers to get another, to get the equity out of their home, right? Like even when she was presented with the facts, she was trying to defend him. Like that's codependency. It's the biggest addiction in the world, you know?
Yeah.
That's not unlike someone who's married to someone who abuses alcohol that will say, well, you know, I mean, it's only every Saturday night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he's sober 6 days of the week.
Right, yeah. Right. And you know, now that one day that he drinks too much, yeah, it does carry over to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you know?
But then it's only beer.
Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, my drug of choice, along with cocaine, but my alcohol drug of choice was wine. And do you know how sophisticated wine can be?
Yeah.
Do you know how classy you are when you can start ripping off oak scents and blah, 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 you know? Like,
yeah, right. So you've had two bottles.
Yeah, exactly, you know? And so I justified it, and I lost two marriages myself. Not that I had any role whatsoever, of course. You know, but I mean, I've gone through and I look back and I go, oh my God, David, you know, come on, really. You chose women that you saw right away. Because I was so highly codependent, is that my role, and some of your listeners are going to love to hear this, is that as a codependent, one side of codependency is the savior.
Yeah.
So we see someone who has great potential. So everyone who's listening right now, never date for someone's potential to change.
Well, yeah. I mean, I always used to joke that the husbands always in my initial client meetings, the husbands would always say that the wife was crazy and the wife would always say the husband was controlling. And I would wonder how many times when they first got together, oh, I love her. She's crazy.
You know? Thank you.
I love him. He takes care of everything.
Yes.
Everything, you know?
Yes. You know, yeah. And for our people out there that are, you know, like never date a separated man or woman.
Yeah.
Like, how insane is this? You know, I just posted something on Facebook. As a matter of fact, that we do these daily videos, David Essel's Daily Video Boost. And a former girlfriend of mine who I love to death and we're on great terms with, she's been dating someone who's been separated for 6 years and she's been with him for 2 years. Okay. So now he said to her what he said to the previous three girls that he's dated is the divorce is right around the corner.
Any day now.
It's coming, baby. It's like,
just
so she,
hang in there.
So my former girlfriend contacts me on a regular basis and I help her, you know, and I just say, listen, honey, it ain't changing. Now you can just learn to accept it's not changing. And when you date someone who's separated, you're going to have insanity. If you can get to that mindset, you're fine. You know, because you know it's going to be nutso and crazy. And so just accept the nutso and crazy. If you want healthy, you're probably going to have to make a bigger decision, you know?
Yeah, it's the integrity of the decision at the time that the relationship starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up, more from Susan, Rebecca, and David on consciously healing and thriving during and after divorce.
99% of the time in our case, we will say to people, it's better that the kids are not raised in that toxic emotional environment.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including Who's Your Daddy? Bet You Didn't Know That Unmarried Dads Have No Rights and Other Paternity Issues.
I think that it's always a huge shock for dads that are not married to the mothers of their children to find out that they don't even get to any of what we've just spent a couple of minutes talking about here until they can prove that they are the fathers of their children.
And now we return to today's show.
So, you know, like in 1980, when I was finishing up my work in the world of my schooling, we were taught that at all, drop everything and keep the family together for the kids. There are major radio hosts right now that are so sick in the head that on this very day are going to be telling people to stay together for the kids, because I hear it all the time. My clients will come in and go, well, you know, so-and-so on Sirius XM is saying that we, and I go, oh my God. And you know, so-and-so is using technology from 1980. Give you an FYI, they're using belief systems. You know, they haven't updated their belief systems. And so they're telling you crap they learned in school, just like I did. It is one of the unhealthiest things that parents can do, is to stay married for the children.
Yeah, I know for my own self, my kids were little when my older three were little when I got divorced from their dad. And I remember thinking, I don't want them to think this is an example of a loving relationship. And, you know, the beautiful thing is that my older daughter, who's now grown and in her 20s, gave my current husband and I a Valentine card a couple of years ago. And of course, she could never have known what my decision-making process was at the time that I divorced her dad. She gave a Valentine card to my husband and me and said, to the most beautiful example of a loving relationship I know. And I was so emotional when I read that, because I thought, that's why I got divorced. That's why I moved on, because now she got to see what that looked like.
Okay, but Rebecca, let me slow it down for a second. How old were you? She was three when you divorced, did you say?
No, she was eight.
Eight, okay. Trust me. At 8 years of age, she saw dysfunction. She's able to compare 8 to 20, okay? She's able to, on the subconscious level, she's able to make a comparison. And that's a great example of what I'm saying. You know, a lot of times parents will say, well, they're so young, they don't know the BS. They know the difference. And they may not know it until now, like when your daughter at 20 can see what love is. But if you didn't make that move, she would be thinking that dysfunction is love.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And that's why I was so emotional.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That. So what are some of the most toxic and lethal emotions that you can identify for our listeners that you see in people that are going through a divorce?
All right, there's only one that matters. You can list all the emotions in the world, but there's only one that matters, and that's resentments. Resentments is the number one cause of divorce from an emotional perspective, okay? It's resentments that have not been expressed, have not been taken care of, they haven't moved. So we have resentments against someone that spends too much, drinks too much, that someone's that demands sex in a way we don't like sex, that, you know, whatever. It's all divorces are based on
too
resentment.
Too much sex, not enough sex.
Yeah. You know, go on and on, you know, like it's all resentments, you know, and now a lot of times these resentments can be worked through if people want to do the work with a counselor like myself. We can take resentments that have been there for 25 years and blast them out. We can. It's going to be hard work. But you can do it. But that's the number one cause of emotions regarding divorce, is that people are going through the process. They've held, because they're codependent, they've never set boundaries and consequences. And remember what I said earlier, boundaries are, if you don't quit drinking, if you don't quit smoking, if you don't quit blah, 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 I'm doing X. But the codependent person never does X, right? So they have no, their partner doesn't respect them at all. It's like all they're doing is nagging and bitching. And, you know, who respects that? Wah, no one. Wah, wah, wah. I know, exactly. Yeah, you know, yeah. That's exactly right, Susan. So if you want to be an independent in a failing marriage to see if it can be pulled around, is that you have to do what's called boundaries with consequences. So do I have time to tell a quick story of a turnaround?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. So there's a couple that came to me. And as a matter of fact, the woman, which was so wild, I did a keynote address at a large conference about 3 weeks ago. And this woman who I'm going to tell you about actually surprised me. And she came up on stage and introduced me, because our work saved their marriage. And it was, I'm getting chills right now, because it was a total out of the blue thing. All of a sudden I see this, I go, I know her, you know, and she walks up on stage and she goes, I'm here to introduce the next speaker. And the story she told was amazing, but they came to me because of the fact they've been together for 25 years. Every 2 months, he would go out and with the boys and get blasted, spend way too much money, was not effective as a dad for the kids, and was totally unavailable for the wife. She gained so much resentments over 25 years, but she was codependent. So she nagged and bitched and everything else, but nothing ever changed. So they finally came in. He admitted that he would go out every couple months and he would blow it and he couldn't. So I said, okay, here's the deal. We're going to have a contract. Here's the contract. You're both going to sign it. If you go out and drink again for the rest of your life, as long as you guys are married, if you go out and drink again, your bags will be packed the next day. They will be on the front porch and you have to move out of the house for 90 days. I don't care where you go, rent an apartment, a condo, a mansion. I don't care what you do. However, for those 90 days, you have to be home 3 nights a week for dinner with your still wife and your children. I want the family unit to stay together, okay? I don't want to have them separate with them. So we have boundaries and rules. So they both signed it, okay? The wife was really excited because someone was setting boundaries and consequences that she couldn't set.
For her, yeah.
Right, exactly, right? And I'm fine doing that initially. And the husband actually was relieved because he was sick and tired of her nagging and he knew what was going to happen, right? So sure enough, 3 weeks after signing the darn contract, he goes out and drinks.
Oh,
The bags are packed. He moves out for 90 days. Now, in that 90-day period of time, I worked with him 5 days a week. He committed to 5 days a week of counseling. She committed to 2 days a week of counseling. Now, this was 6 years ago. He has never drank since. He moved back in. He moved back in at the 91st day. They have now a much more respectful marriage. But, you know, that's what a contract with, you know, now I'm doing legal work here, right?
Well, yeah. And we only have a couple more minutes. So I really want to make sure we leave people with tools for thriving during and after divorce, because I think that's what they tuned into here. So,
yeah. All right. So number one is that you got to understand that you have a role in the dysfunction. Okay. So if you're in a marriage and you're pointing the fingers, you're screwed. Nothing's ever going to be saved. If you can own your portion of the dysfunction, whatever it is, you drink too much, you spend too much, you're codependent, you're afraid of rocking the boat, whatever it is, there's a starting point to healing. Number one. Number two, you will never heal your own marriage by yourself. Get your butt into a counselor, into someone that knows their stuff, even if it's only one of you. We've helped save a lot of marriages just with one person coming in to start the work. And then 2 or 3 months later, the partner comes in. So that's going to be step number two. Number three, set up a timeline if you're in a highly dysfunctional marriage of how much longer you're going to stay before you separate and or divorce. So
that's a good one.
You know, like put it on the table.
People have to stick to it.
Yeah, you got to stick with it, right? And you know, I love separation. I am one of the biggest fans of just like the story I told you about, you know, 90 days apart. It can diminish the negative energy as long as the both partners are working with a professional. I love separation and I don't want it to go more than 90 days. At the end of 90 days, we've had couples come back together and decide, you know what? It is just is not going to work. But they've had that 90 days to calm down and get clear. So I really love that. Now, if you're going to save the marriage, you both have to be willing to get humble and vulnerable and accept your role. Number one. Number two, you're going to have to set up a game plan to change your role of the dysfunction. Don't worry about your freaking partner's role. Worry about what you're doing. Are you too afraid to set boundaries and consequences? Are you afraid to give up alcohol? Are you afraid to give up your spending? You know, like, you've got to work on your own crap. And we've saved hundreds of marriages over 30 years, but only because people were really willing to work, guys.
So from a perspective of a, you know, those are marriages that people want to save or have are willing to put that effort in. If you, for the people who have determined that divorce is the right path for them, you know, what would you say the most transformative thing people can do through the divorce process is for to help themselves?
Okay. Again, it's going to be working with a professional, and it's going to be learning how to let go of resentments. If you don't let go of resentments after you go through a divorce with your husband or wife, you are going to slaughter the next people you date. You're going to be untrusted. You are. You're going to destroy them. You're going to be
a bad date. Yeah.
You're a terrible date. You're going to be jaded. You're going to be mistrusting. You're going to be looking for problems. You're going to probably pick the same kind of dude or dudette that you married. Just a different face. Same crap. Yeah. Can I get an amen?
Yeah. History repeats itself. Yes.
It does, you know. Yeah. So once you go through the divorce, you know, I mentioned earlier, do not date for 365 days. Don't even freaking think about it. Here's the best way you can judge if you're ready to date again. If you are so happy on your own, you don't need a partner.
Isn't that a great point?
That, write it down, gang. If you're only ready to date after divorce when you are so happy, there's no neediness, there's no loneliness, you're not buying into the bull crap that the reason you're on earth is to be in love with a partner. That's not the reason
you're
on earth.
That's exactly what I say in the end of my book too. My book is called Breaking Free. And in the very end, I say, you have to be whole and complete and bring a whole and complete version of yourself to your next relationship.
Amen.
It's so true. It's so true. I think it's probably out of everything, and you've had so much wonderful information today, David, but out of everything, that is something that, gosh, I hope people who are listening really grasp onto, because the trend I always see in at least the divorce cases is people fill that empty hole next to them with, like you said, different face, same issues. Over and over and over again, which keeps us in business. I have lots of repeat clients, but I'd actually like them to have happy lives. So,
you're welcome. And it really is a key. And it's something that people get very anxious when we talk about, because they think the purpose of life is to have a partner, and it's not. That's actually number four in our list, believe it or not. But, you know, or they're lonely and needy on the weekends and blah, blah, blah. You know, get used to your loneliness and neediness. Find a way to work through it. I keep saying this. Get help, man. No one teaches us how to deal with adversity in life, okay? When you're 0 to 18, there's no one saying, hey, if you ever get into a rough relationship, here's the four keys to do. And if someone told us, we wouldn't listen anyway. So, you know, now that we're adults, get help. Learn about self-esteem and confidence and codependency. Create a life that you're so proud and happy with that you don't need anyone. And then that's the time you're going to find a rock star to come and join your life.
Absolutely. And I know that you wanted to share a special thing with our listeners. Would you go ahead and do that now?
Yeah, Rebecca, Susan, we got two things that we're going to offer your listeners for absolutely free. Number one is that we have a 5-day-a-week program. It used to be by subscription only, and then we opened it up and we're giving it away for free. 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, they can sign up for David Essel's Daily Video Boost. It's a program for free at talkdavid.com. You can either go to davidessel.com, or the easier for your listeners is talkdavid.com. They can sign up for David Essel's Daily Video Boost. Every Monday through Friday, they're going to get an inspirational video from me to give them a boost to start their day. So that's free gift number one. And number two, for every one of your listeners that is tired of the life they have, and they want a better life, we've been so blessed that we're giving away a 30-minute session on the phone. For no matter where you live in the world, or Skype, doesn't matter to me. All you have to do is send us an email at talkdavid.com and say, hey, I heard you with Rebecca and Susan, and I want to set up a free 30-minute session to help me with X, whatever X is. And one of my staff will get back to you, book you, and we will do everything we can in 30 minutes to get you on the right track. And everything is at talkdavid.com.
Excellent. That is wonderful. Thank you so much. I'm signing up for the videos right away. Thank
you. I already get them.
I love it.
Rebecca's always ahead of me. But
no, not true. But in this case, I happen to already get them. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much, David.
Oh, Rebecca, Susan, I love both of your energy, and this was such a great topic. I hope people took notes, you know, and then they can take from your wisdom and what I shared and move forward in life and create the life you want. It's in your hands.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a Modern Divorce Podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. For a limited time, get your free copy of Rebecca's best-selling divorce book, Breaking Free, a step-by-step divorce guide to achieving emotional, physical, and spiritual freedom at www.breakingfreethebook.com.
And for your free copy of Susan's Top 10 Reasons to Mediate Your Divorce, visit www.divorceinabetterway.com.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and let us know what you liked in a review.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.